You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's been nearly a year since Michigan voters said yes to recreational marijuana. And now things are moving ahead to bring recreational marijuana businesses to communities that want them. Starting November 1st, the state's Marijuana Regulatory Agency, the MRA, will start accepting applications for recreational pot businesses. So we wondered how introducing recreational pot and the stores and shops that will open to serve that market would affect the existing medical marijuana industry in Michigan. So we're going to turn to Lisa Conine, who's with Ohm of Medicine. It's a medical marijuana dispensary in Ann Arbor that opened in 2010. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
So is Ohm of Medicine going to pursue a recreational pot license?
Yeah, most definitely. And so you'll see pretty much every dispensary, medical provisioning center do the same. The way that the law is written is it allows for those medical facilities to be the ones to get priority for those licenses in the first 2 years. I believe that that was out of the motivation to help with the implementation process, speed up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So every state that's passed adult use takes at least a year to get the program up and running. So I think that that was written in by, you know, the advocates who created the bill to help speed up that process. So yes.
What kind of questions are you getting from the public?
Yeah, so we get calls every day, first of all, asking if we can serve to the general population, and then when will those sales begin, and then what will happen to the medical program. So first off, as you stated, the licenses, the applications will be available November 1st. So we expect hopefully early January to see places start licensed and being able to serve the general population. And then in terms of the medical program, we still tell our patients that if they obtain their card and keep their card, there is some perks there. So there will be a less tax structure, so less amount of tax that they'll have to pay at the register, being in the medical program versus the tax structure for adult use sales. And then also we anticipate that they'll see shorter lines, wait times, and more attention on them. We see a lot of patients that use it just for medical reasons and medical reasons only. They don't necessarily want to be associated with people using it for any other reason. So they want that specialized care. And so there is a perk to having the medical card and still getting that attention. But it's not going to necessarily do away with the program at all. It keeps the medical program intact. They're two separate programs that will work, you know, synergistically together.
Do you see yourself opening a separate facility so the folks of the recreational mindset can be one place and the folks who are seeking, you know, medical marijuana for medical issues could be in a separate place?
So the way that it's written, there's no requirements that it has to be a separate facility. It just has to be separate, like registers and indicated and people served separately. So for our standpoint, in my personal view is that I think it's more beneficial when they are together because, again, my personal view is that all use is medical. We do have something called the endocannabinoid system. So if you're using cannabis, it is impacting your body in a medicinal way, even if your intention is for recreational use. So having those two uses coincide under one roof, I think will just better educate people and normalize it all around.
And there are people listening to us who have never tried marijuana and would be are marijuana curious.
For sure.
And to that point,
canna curious.
Canna curious. There you go. Is there any difference between marijuana that is medical and marijuana that's recreational?
So not necessarily. I think that the difference is your intention behind it. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about the logistics, the cannabis that will be coming for through the medical program and then also into the adult use market, at the beginning will be coming from probably the same suppliers because those are the ones that are already up and running and have product available. We can anticipate probably some product shortages once the program launches. This happens in every state that launches this type of program as well.
Pent-up demand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then as time goes on, we'll see the market diversify and more people enter and hopefully some more craft producers that maybe were from the caregiver market that were pushed out due to high licensing fees for the medical program can now have an opportunity to enter the adult use market with a lot lower licensing fees and less capital requirements.
There has been a lot of concern, Lisa, the headlines about vaping and particularly deaths related to vaping THC. What is Ohm of Medicine doing to make sure the product is safe?
Yeah, well, first I want to clarify, the deaths are not because of vaping THC. They're from vaping any additives that are put into that. So I just want to clarify, mm-hmm. we're not demonizing THC or mm-hmm. people who use it. And I think that that is a very important case for the need for regulation and mm-hmm. for the need for legalization so we can keep people safe. When we have a tracked system, we know where things are coming and what's in it. But for us personally, we've done our due diligence, contacting all of our vendors, making sure that they don't use those ingredients that are suspected to be the problem. There's still a lot that we don't know. But then we also just tell our patients that, you know, vaping has only been around for 10-ish years. Smoking the cannabis flower has been around for 5,000-ish years. So maybe go with the data there that we have.
As far as getting a medical marijuana card, it sounds like it's still worth doing because you were saying there's perks for the folks that have those cards, including lower taxes.
For sure. Yeah. And even for, if you think about it, the adult use market is for 21 years and older. If anyone has a medical ailment, they're under 21. The medical program is still of use to that population.
Ohm of Medicine has been partnering with the University of Michigan in assessing the experience of medical marijuana users. Tell us about this study. What are the questions and what are you learning?
Yeah, so this is our third IRB-approved study that we've done with the University of Michigan. This one essentially is surveying people's experiences with cannabis, their daily regimen, including dosing, their knowledge on the products that they're using, and then their relationship with their healthcare team. So we see a lot of people coming in and they tell us that they're not able to talk to their doctors about this. That's a huge problem. So we want to pull some data points from what we gather and hope to reach out to the medical community even more and also influence policy with those data sets, but also to just push the need for more research. We hear all the time from policymakers and from medical professionals that, oh, well, there's just not enough research. So we're rolling up our sleeves and trying to collect that data. We have information coming into our doors every single day. So we're just trying to gather that.
What are the most important questions that this research should be addressing?
I would say the knowledge that people have or the lack thereof, and how can we address that? How can our policies match what people actually need in terms of having the comfortability and the confidence to talk to their healthcare team about it without fear of penalty or without the doctors having fear of penalty?
Certainly that reference to pent-up demand on the recreational market is very true. In fact, the day after marijuana was legalized by Michigan voters, our stateside producers were calling around and we called some medical dispensary and he just picked up the phone and said, no, we can't sell it to you. Immediately, people wanted to come in and buy.
Yeah.
So there's certainly in the public who've been waiting for this to come a lot of anticipation. What are you most excited about as recreational marijuana moves forward?
Yeah, I am so excited to see this normalized, to finally see some of the shame taken out of cannabis use, for people to use cannabis and feel comfortable doing that without the shame or penalty. And then also for people, like we were saying, are kind of curious to come and give it a shot and not fear the stigma or, again, the like law penalty that might be associated with that use. I think something that's really exciting is not only is adult use moving forward, but the state rules also allow for social use consumption spaces. So if municipalities allow for that, which Ann Arbor did just pass the ordinance last week, there will be designated consumption spaces where people can actually consume in public. And what better way to normalize this, something that people have been using for thousands of years, than to have it be done in a communal way where you can learn about cannabis and do fun events like maybe comedy shows or yoga and just really start to normalize it.
How do you address those who are listening to us? Undoubtedly, you know they're there, who think this is a horrible idea for Michigan, worried about people driving while high. How are we going to keep the roads safe? What about unknown health effects or addiction issues? There's people who and they don't want shops in their communities. How do you address those folks?
Yeah, well, first I would just say that it's totally understandable to have fear. This is something that has been prohibited in our culture for such a long time, and we've been told a lot of lies and fear-based narratives around this plant. And so I would say if you have fear about this, then to actually engage and talk to your policymakers about it, because, again, the reason why we don't know a lot about this plant is because it's been prohibited and we haven't been able to research it in the way that we should to have that data, to keep us all safe. So if you're frustrated and worried, then call up your senator and tell them that we need more research on cannabis. Let's deschedule cannabis from a Schedule 1 status so we can actually understand it in the way that we need to fully utilize it and keep us all safe.
Lisa Conine with Ohm of Medicine, a medical marijuana dispensary